Please turn to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible this afternoon. Chapter 16. We're going to look at two verses as our text, verse 1 and verse 7. Revelation 16, 1 and 7. The title of the message is simply, The Tribulation. Revelation 16, 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And then verse 7. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. The word tribulation means literally to press, as in pressing grapes. The Greek word that is translated tribulation in the New Testament is thlipsis. T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S. Thlipsis. And this word carries the idea of pressure. And it refers to pressures, problems, and distresses of the coming tribulation, a time of 7 years that is coming on this earth immediately preceding the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Revelation 24, 21. This is a key verse having to do with the tribulation, and we'll be referring to it several times this afternoon in the message. Matthew 24, Verse 21. This word, thlipsis, is translated tribulation in Matthew 24, 21. Matthew 24, 21. For then shall be great tribulation. That's the word. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. This same word, thlipsis, is translated as affliction in Mark 13 and verse 19. Let's turn to that verse. Mark, the second gospel, chapter 13 and verse 19. Mark 13 and verse 19. For in those days shall be affliction. There's that very same word, thlipsis. Such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Strong's analytical concordance defines this tribulation as affliction, anguish, persecution, and trouble. All of those things are involved in this thought, in this word, thlipsis, or tribulation. This word, tribulation, is used 20 times in the New Testament. Sometimes it's used to speak of the general tribulation that all men suffer in this life. We all suffer some tribulation in this life. Sometimes it's used, on the other hand, of the great tribulation that will occur for a brief time and will be directed against Israel and elect Gentiles at the end of this age. Now, the Lord Jesus uses this word in the general sense in John 16, 33. So please turn to John 16 and verse 33. The Lord is talking here about the affliction, the suffering, the tribulation that all of His people suffer, the general sense of the term here in John 16, 33. The Lord Jesus is speaking, These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. That's the general sense. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, the Apostle Paul speaks of this general tribulation in Romans 5, 3, and 4. So let's turn to that. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Here again, the word tribulation is used in the general sense. Romans 5, 3 and 4. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience help. All men throughout history have known this general tribulation. And we might say specifically all Christians have known this general type of tribulation. But the Scriptures also speak of a specific time of tribulation. Turn again to Matthew 24, 21. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. You might want to just put a marker there because we'll return to this several times. Here the Lord Jesus speaks of specific time as great tribulation. Matthew 24, 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So this is the specific time the Scripture calls tribulation. Now, extended Bible passages refer to this specific period of time called the tribulation, and they are found, if you'd like to read them at home, and I hope you will, in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, and also mainly in chapters 6 through 19 of the book of Revelation. That's really what the whole book of Revelation is about, the major part of it, the tribulation. This tribulation will be a definite period of time because Matthew 24, 29 speaks of a time after this tribulation. Look at Matthew 24, 29 this time. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So it's a specific time. God's Word refers to this specific time of tribulation by several names. I want to give you four or five of them here. And A.W. Pink, as is always the case, he has a list of about 20 of them. But in Matthew 24, 29 that we just read, the Lord Jesus refers to it as the tribulation. In Revelation 7, 14, the Scripture refers to it as great tribulation. Let's turn to Revelation 7, 14. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14 refers to this time as great tribulation. John is speaking, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The 9th chapter of Daniel refers to it as the 70th week, the 70th week. And we'll come back to this in a moment. Number 4, Jeremiah 30 and verse 7 calls the tribulation the time of Jacob's trouble. Let's turn to Jeremiah 30 and verse 7 in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. The time of Jacob's trouble. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Now one more, number 5, Revelation 6. 17 refers to this coming tribulation as the great day of God's wrath. And that's a key description of it. Revelation 6, 17, if you will turn to that. Revelation 6, 17. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? In this message on the specific time called the tribulation, we shall consider three things about this coming time of tribulation. First of all, let's consider the nature and purpose of the tribulation. The nature and purpose of the tribulation. What will this specific time of tribulation be like? And why is it going to happen? What will be the nature of this tribulation? Well, chapters 6 through 19 of the book of Revelation give us the tribulation in great detail. Now, there's so much to this, you're going to think, well, you really missed a lot. And that's because there is so much. I'm just going to try to hit some high points here. But you'll see right away, if you've read Revelation more than once, that I'm leaving out a lot. It's not that I'm afraid to look at it, it's just that we don't have time to look at it. Chapter 6 through 19 give us the tribulation in great detail. So, in this passage, in these chapters, the main character during the tribulation will be that awful person called the Antichrist. The tribulation will begin with a time of peace. The Antichrist will usher in his rule with a great peace movement. You know, have you ever thought about that old peace movement during the Vietnam War? Where did that come from? It was anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-everything, anti-war, peace movement. Interesting, the Antichrist is going to begin his reign with a peace movement. Revelation 6:2 speaks of the Antichrist coming forth on a white horse with a bow but no arrows. And this warrior goes forth conquering and to conquer. Here's Revelation 6:2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, what did you notice that was missing here in this man's equipment? He had no arrows. He had no ammunition. And so, this leads us to believe that the Antichrist will evidently bring about his bloodless conquest. In other words, he may be a great diplomat that knows how to con people into going along with his plans. Now turn to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, and we'll return to this several times also this afternoon because it is a key passage on the tribulation. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27 says that Antichrist will make a covenant with Israel, guaranteeing the peace and safety of Israel during the next 7 years or during Daniel's 70th week. Daniel 9 and verse 27. And he, that is the Antichrist, which is the subject, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, if we look at the context, this is a week of years, 7 years, used in a symbolic phrase, a term called a week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So, this is where we get the idea that the Antichrist is going to make a covenant with Israel, guaranteeing their peace. Brother, if ever they are ripe for this kind of thing, it's right now. Everybody hates Israel. Even Obama. Even our government hates Israel. The Antichrist also will use ecumenical religion to promote his ends in this world. Revelation chapter 17 says that the Antichrist will have a confederation or a federation of 10 kings. And this coalition, led by Antichrist, will use the ecumenical church called here the whore and the scarlet woman to accomplish Antichrist's purposes. You know, he's not the first one to use religion to accomplish his political goals. I remember a long time ago, and pardon me if you are a fan of this man, but Jimmy Carter fooled all the Baptists in the South into voting for him because he said, "I have been born again." And he hammered that over and over and over. And boy, the sheep just went to the slaughter over that. They voted for him because of that. Well, this man's going to use religion the same way. Only on a grander scale, he's going to use the scarlet woman, the ecumenical church, to promote his goals. And Revelation 17:7 says, "This great whore, the ecumenical church, will ride on the back of the beast," indicating there will be working together. In other words, she's riding on the back. She thinks she's controlling this Antichrist and his federation of kings. Look at Revelation 17 and verse 7. Revelation 17 and verse 7. "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her." You know the beast is one of the names of Antichrist. "Which hath the seven heads and ten horns." Now verse 16 of that same chapter goes on to say that when Antichrist is through with her, that is this ecumenical religion, then the Antichrist coalition will destroy the ecumenical church. They're going to turn on her. Look what it says. "And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast," that is, those are his, those ten kings that give their power to the beast, "these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire." The Antichrist is going to turn on this religious movement. According to the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24:21, the tribulation will be a time of unparalleled trouble on this earth. Turn again to Matthew 24 and verse 21. The Lord says this will be a time of unparalleled trouble in this world. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." The tribulation will be a time when God's awful wrath will be poured out on this world. During this time, the seven vials of God's wrath will be poured out on this world. Our text says, in Revelation 16:1, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." That's right in the middle of this tribulation. That's described in Revelation chapter 6 through 19. The tribulation will also be a time when strange phenomena will occur in nature. Turn to Luke 21. 25 and 26. Luke 21, 25 and 26. "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." There are other passages that talk about the stars falling during the tribulation. I remember as a child during World War II, we lived in a country town, Atoka, Oklahoma, and there was a meteor shower that lasted every night for a week. You could see it, and I've never seen one like it. It just rained stars, it looked like. And a lot of people really got scared. They thought they were in this place right here, all these stars falling. Interesting. At least they knew more about the Bible in those days than people do now. Now turn to Revelation 9, verses 7 through 10. Revelation chapter 9, verses 7 through 10 says that grotesque creatures will be released from the bottomless pit during this time to torment men. I'm first to admit I don't really know what I've read all kinds of ideas, but it's all speculation, I believe, what these things represent. I believe it's going to happen. I don't know what it is, but I believe it's going to happen because it's in the book. But these are no doubt symbolic representations, but they represent something that is grotesque and terrible, whatever it is. Revelation 9:7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. I remember hearing a preacher say one time, the Lord's going to open up the bottomless pit and all those hippies are going to come out of there. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. I don't know what that is, but it's something terrible, something grotesque that's going to happen. The tribulation also will be a time of death, when death will consume great multitudes of people. Look at Revelation 9:15. Revelation 9:15 and other passages say, the tribulation will be a time when more than half the world's population will die from famine, disease, earthquakes, and war. And I'm just going to read one. This is just one reference. There are many in the book of Revelation. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. So just at that one particular instance, one third of the earth's population is going to be destroyed during the tribulation. The tribulation will also be a time when temple worship will evidently be restored at Jerusalem. Daniel said that during the 70th week, the Antichrist will restore the animal sacrifices in the temple, and then in the middle of the week, he's going to appear and stop those sacrifices. Look again at Daniel 9:27. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Daniel 9:27. Now, I know this is sometimes laborious to look up so many scriptures, but I want you to see them with your own eyes, and you can deal with them. Daniel 9:27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Did you know that there is a movement in Israel to rebuild the temple and restore the sacrifices that they used? I don't know how powerful it is, but evidently it's pretty serious because the legislature's always coming out and warning against its dangers and trying to stop it. It must be like the conservatives in America. They must have pretty serious power because the liberals are always, and the media is always yelling about how dangerous they are. Daniel 12:11 says, with this 27th verse, that the abomination of desolation will be set up in the temple at this time. Now let's read that. Daniel 12:11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now we believe that this has reference to what Revelation 13, 14, and 15 says about the false prophet. And let's turn to that. Revelation 13, verses 14 and 15. Revelation 13, 14, and 15 talks about this being called the false prophet, and also calls him another beast besides the Antichrist. And we believe that this is talking about what this false prophet is going to do. It's talking about this false prophet. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, that is the Antichrist, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power, that is the false prophet, to give life unto the image of the beast, or the idol of the Antichrist, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, here's what I make of this, and I believe Scripture backs this up. The false prophet, this says, is going to make a statue of the Antichrist. And with his miracle-working power, this statue is going to be able to speak. Well, think of what that'll do to these gullible people that see the miracles of the faith healers and fall for them right then. I believe this image that's going to be set up in the temple is what the Lord Jesus is talking about in Matthew 24:15. Let's turn to that. You say, oh, preacher, I can't understand this. It's too hard. Well, let's look at what the Lord Jesus says about understanding this. This, not just the Bible in general, not just prophecy in general, but this. Matthew 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. I believe that abomination of desolation is that statue of the Antichrist that the false prophet is going to set up. But notice what the Lord says right after that. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Now that forever takes away our excuse of saying, oh, it's too hard, I don't want to study it. The Lord says, you are responsible to understand this. This false prophet will evidently set up this statue in the temple and demand on pain of death that every man worship this statue. Revelation 13:16-17 says that this false prophet will pass a law that everybody must have the number of the Antichrist on his person in order to work or to eat or to buy or to sell. At this time, as Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, the Antichrist will demand to be worshipped. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:4. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 is talking about the man of sin, the son of perdition. We saw last week that that's the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I believe that's talking about the same thing. The abomination of desolation. We're talking about the nature of the tribulation. The tribulation will also be a time of religious persecution among the Gentiles. Revelation 11:3-12 says that God will send two witnesses during this time to preach and to work miracles at the beginning of the tribulation, but they will be murdered by the Antichrist. Their bodies will lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days, and all of the world will see them and rejoice over them. And then the Scripture says in that same 11th chapter that these two witnesses that have been killed will be resurrected and taken up into heaven as the whole world looks on. Revelation 13:7 says that the Antichrist will persecute Christians during the tribulation. Revelation 13:7. And it was given unto him, that is the Antichrist, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. You know, our American love for political and religious freedom will then be just a shocking remembrance of the past. It'll be all gone. And it's going fast right now. Finally, The tribulation will be a time of persecution of the Jews. It will be, as Jeremiah 30 and verse 7 says, the time of Jacob's trouble. Daniel 12, 1 says, well, let's turn to that. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Daniel 12, 1 says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Thy people is Daniel's people, that's the Jews, and Michael is an angel. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. That's talking about Jews, Daniel's people. Brother, that's a ray of light in an awfully dark picture, isn't it? The Jews have been so mistreated and so abused. But it says that thy people shall be delivered. There has never yet been a time like the tribulation will be for the Jews. Not the Inquisition. You know, in the Inquisition, the Roman Catholic Church killed thousands of Jews and Christians for the high crime of refusing to become Catholics. There never has been a time like the tribulation will be, though. Not the pogroms in Russia under the Tsars, when hundreds of thousands of Jews were slaughtered because they were Jews. Not the Islamic anti-Semitism of today. And not even the Holocaust under the Nazis. The Lord Jesus said there never has been a time and there never will be one like the tribulation and the persecution of the Jews then. Turn to Revelation 16 and verse 10. Revelation 16 and verse 10 says that all of these things will be so terrible that men will literally gnaw their tongues. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, or the headquarters of the Antichrist, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Revelation 9, 6 says that this tribulation will be so terrible that men will seek death and won't be able to find it. Turn to Revelation 9, 6 here. Revelation chapter 9, verse 6 says that men will seek death and won't be able to find it. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. So, when the Lord Jesus speaks of the great tribulation, He's not exaggerating. This tribulation will be so severe that nothing in all of history can rival it. And yet, by and large, men will not repent. This failure of men to repent through all of this reveals once again the utter depths of man's sin and depravity. God demonstrates this over and over throughout biblical history. Look at Revelation 9, 20 and 21 here. That tells us these men in those days will not repent. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Now we've seen something of the nature of the tribulation. Let us look now at the purpose of the tribulation. What is it all going to be for? What is God's purpose in this terrible time that's coming? The tribulation will be the time when the righteous wrath of a holy God is poured out on this wicked world. Revelation 14:7 says that in the tribulation, an angel will fly through the heaven saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come." This will not be ultimately the wrath of the Antichrist that will come. It will not be ultimately the wrath of Satan or of the false prophet. It will be the wrath of God. And I know that people today don't want to hear about the wrath of God, but here it is in the Word of God. Look again at our text in Revelation 16, 1 and 7. "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth.'" And verse 7 says this is righteous judgment. "And I heard another out of the altar say, 'Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments.'" Oh, it's not fair for God to do these things. You hear that all the time. My friends, God doesn't do anything that's unrighteous. And these are His righteous judgments, indicating how serious, how horrible, how offensive sin is to a holy God. Now look at Revelation 15 and verse 1. Chapter 15 and verse 1 of Revelation, which speaks of the tribulation. "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them," that is the seven last plagues, "is filled up the wrath of God." This is all of God's wrath. God's complete wrath. "God will pour out great judgments on unbelieving men and nations during this time." And the major portion of the book of Revelation is taken up with describing these terrible judgments of God during the tribulation. Another purpose of the tribulation will be for God to judge the nation of Israel. Jeremiah 30 and verse 7, as we have seen, calls the tribulation the time of Jacob's trouble. And Jacob is one of Israel's names. Remember, in fact, Arthur W. Pink makes the case that Jacob is his fleshly name and Israel is his spiritual name. I don't know that that's the case, but anyway, it's one of his names. The 12 tribes of Israel is what it has reference to. Jacob's trouble, then, is the trouble of Israel, the trouble of the Jews. This 70th week of Daniel in Daniel 9:27 will be the final 7 years of God's dealings with Israel. And during this time, the Antichrist will persecute the Jews and other judgments will come on them. Well, why would God pour out His judgments on Israel during the tribulation? It will be because the Jews rejected their king, the Messiah, when He came the first time. Turn to John 1, 10 and 11. John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. This passage is speaking of Christ's coming the first time. "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own," that is, His own people, the Jews, "and His own received Him not." When the Jews crucified the Lord Jesus, they cried out in Matthew 27:25 for the guilt for His death to be credited to their account. "His blood be on us and on our children," they said. What an awful thing. Now, my friends, that doesn't give us the right, as the Roman Catholics have always thought they had the right, to persecute the Jews. You know, they call the Jews Christ killers. And they say they cried out for His blood to be on them and on their children, so we'll give it to them. Brother, it's not our place to do that. God's going to take care of that. And I want to be on the side of God's people. Well, the next thing we should consider is salvation in the tribulation. Salvation in the tribulation. In Jeremiah 30 and verse 7, God says that Israel shall be saved out of the tribulation. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. In verse 11 of this same chapter, God promises to bring a remnant of Israel through the tribulation. Verse 11 of Jeremiah 30. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Revelation 7:4 says that during the tribulation, God will seal 144,000 of every tribe of Israel, 12,000 out of every tribe. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So, Jews are going to be saved during the tribulation. Some Jews. A remnant. Now, if you're in Revelation 7, and if you're not, please turn there. Revelation 7, 9, and 10 tells us that a great number of Gentiles will also be saved during the tribulation. Look at Revelation 7, 9, and 10. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Now look on down the page at verses 13 through 15, which tell us that this multitude will be saved during the tribulation. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. So yes, praise the Lord, multitudes of Jews and Gentiles will be saved during the tribulation. Now, I don't have time to go into it, but that has great ramifications for these people who teach that the Holy Spirit is going to be taken out of the world 7 years before Christ comes back. Well, how can people be saved without the Holy Spirit? Finally, let's look briefly here at the limits of the tribulation. That is, when it will begin and when it will end. The tribulation will begin with the treaty by the Antichrist with the Jews. As we have seen in Daniel 9:27, the Antichrist makes a covenant with the Jewish people to guarantee that they can live in peace in their land. This will happen at the beginning of the week, the last 7 years before the Lord Jesus returns. In the midst of that week, or in the midst of that 7 years, the Antichrist is going to break this covenant and begin persecuting the Jews and the Christians for the remainder of that week. Now turn to Matthew 24:22. Very quickly, Matthew 24 and verse 22. Here the Lord Jesus says that the tribulation is going to be shortened for the elect's sake. Interesting how much election is found in the Word of God, Brother Johnny. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. God is merciful. He's going to shorten those days for the elect that He's going to save during the tribulation. And then Christ our Lord is going to return at the end of this 7 year period. The tribulation will end with the coming of Christ to the Mount of Olives. Look again, look at Matthew 24, 29 and 30. Matthew 24, 29 and 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So on one end we have the treaty of Antichrist with Israel. The other end we have the second coming of Christ. Those are the limits in time of the tribulation. At that moment when Christ comes again, heaven is going to open and the Savior will come forth and every eye shall see Him. Look with me in closing at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Revelation 1 and verse 7. I believe one of the most meaningful verses on the second coming of Christ in light of all the errors that are being taught today. Revelation 1, 7. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for these things that You have seen fit to show us out of Your Word. We confess our ignorance, our lack of understanding of these things. We pray, our Father, confessing also, however, that we do believe them. And we pray that You would grant us the understanding that You would have us to have. Help us to be diligent in searching the Word. And Father, we pray that we would know these things, not only for our own consolation, but for the use of warning others of what's coming on this earth. We pray these things in Christ Jesus' holy name and for His sake. Amen.